that works for them. The question we want to deal with today is, don't all roads lead to God? In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are imprisoned because they've been preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, and they had been beaten and whipped, and they would have been in pain, but at midnight, they were singing songs of praise to God. And God sent an earthquake that shook that prison until all the doors were opened, and the chains were released on all the prisoners, their hands and their feet, and the jailer freaked out. I mean, he thought he needed to end his life, because if all these prisoners escaped, the Roman authorities would come and put him to death. So he thought about suicide, but instead he had this conversation with Paul and Silas. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked. He asked them one of the most important questions you could ever ask. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the answer is, it all depends on who you ask, right? Don't all roads lead to God? You can ask a lot of different people and get a lot of different answers to that question. What must I do to be saved? How different would these people's answers be? Adele, the Pope, Joel Osteen, or the Dalai Lama? You'd hear a lot of different opinions, because there's a lot of different beliefs to answer that question, what must I do to be saved? And in these messages, I've been talking about a common cultural attitude called relativism. Relativism is the assumption that there is no such thing as absolute truth, that absolute truth is something that is true for all people in all places at all times. It's God's unchanging truth. You'll find it in the Bible. And because many people today don't embrace absolute truth when it comes to religion and when it comes to eternal issues, here's what you'll probably hear them say. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere, and what is true for you, it may not be true for me. Whatever you do, don't push your beliefs on me, especially those Christian beliefs, because that whole deal about hell, I can't say I buy into that. And I just personally don't believe a loving God would send people there, besides this whole Christian thing where Jesus is the only way. If you believe that, you're pretty narrow-minded in your beliefs, and I'm not wanting to be that narrow. I believe that all paths will lead you to God. You do your thing, and I'll do mine, and we'll all see if we end up at the same place. That's the attitude of our culture. Now, that's not my preaching. That's an attitude of our culture. Pastor Craig Groeschel, he pastors the Life Church. You probably run into some of those churches because they're based out of Oklahoma. He tells of the time when he was in seminary, he used to have to do a commute in the large city he lived in, and there was a woman on the bus that he used to take to on this commute that was Unitarian, and she had New Age beliefs mixed into her Unitarian beliefs, and it was a 1.5-hour commute each way going and coming to seminary. So they talked a lot, kind of got to know each other, but they never agreed. In fact, they seemed to enjoy fighting for fun, or disagreeing and arguing for fun. And one day, she shared that in an enlightened state, the spirits had showed her that she was going to be reincarnated as a tree in France. So she wanted to know, when he was reincarnated, what he was going to come back as. And of course, Craig Groeschel's like, hey, I don't believe in reincarnation at all. And she just demanded, well, just think about it. Just tell me what you think. What would you come back as? And he said, let me get this straight. You believe you're coming back as a tree in France? And she said, yeah. And he said to her, well, then I'm going to come back as a dog in France, and I'm going to find your tree. No wonder she didn't like him. There's a lot of different beliefs out there. Look at these results. This is a survey of Americans. 53% of American adults believe if a person is generally good, they will go to heaven. You know people who believe that. 43% of born-again Christians, this was surprising, agreed that it doesn't matter what religious faith you follow because all faiths teach similar lessons about life. And 57% of evangelical church members, that would be people who are members of a church like this, believe many religions can lead to eternal life. I'm not very happy with the results of that survey, so we got to talk, all right? What must I do to be saved? And we come to this question, aren't all religions basically the same? And if you believe that, I'm going to ask you to agree with me on three statements. And then we'll take another look at Jesus. First of all, here's the first statement. Just because you're sincere doesn't make what you believe true. I'm going to ask you to agree with me on that. Just because you're sincere doesn't make what you believe true. That goes against what a lot of people think today. Because I've got my truth, you've got your truth. See that? Not believing there's an absolute truth. But I think if we logically look at it, we could agree that sincerity doesn't make what you believe true. And I think I can settle that argument by simply just showing you a video clip, American Idol tryouts. We've got a short clip here. If you go on YouTube, you'll find 1 hour and 2 hour clips of people trying out for American Idol. It is horrible. Okay, let's watch this video. Can we put that up?
Singing is just something I've always loved to do. Everywhere that I go, if I, you know, if I'm singing somewhere, you know, I turn heads.
No, Christopher, dog. It's a no. It's a no, man.
Let the sun go down on me, yeah. Although I search myself, there's always someone else I see.
I don't need your sympathy. There's nothing you could say or do for me, and I don't know.
Now you're going through similar way. Time and misery in Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty. Yeah!
At no mountain high enough, at no valley low enough.
By myself, anymore.
To me, tell me your name. You blow me off like it's all the same.
You can't sing, you can't dance. So what do you want me to say?
You know, I have no professional training of singing.
No.
Dancing, so.
We didn't believe it either.
Well, that's the surprise of the century.
I think this is where Cheryl wanted me to remind you that we're looking for singers for the worship team. That's a serious announcement, but anyway. Just because you sincerely believe that you can sing does not make it true. Okay. So can we also believe that logically, just because you're sincere in what you believe doesn't necessarily mean it's true? Okay, here's the second statement I want to ask you to agree with me on. There is truth in many world religions, but all world religions can't be true. And let me unpack that for you. Picture it like this. God is the goal of our journey, okay? He's at the mountaintop that we're climbing through life. And let me compare the three major world religions and kind of map out their pathway to God. Let's list their fundamental beliefs concerning who God is, what Jesus said, what salvation requires, and what each believes about the afterlife. The Hindu path believes that God, that all is one. Hindus believe that there are many gods. There are thousands of gods, each representing a different part of life. And Jesus could be one of those thousands of gods, but he is definitely not the only way. Hindus believe that when you die, you come back in another life form through reincarnation, maybe a tree in France, where you work to pay off your karmic debt. And when that happens, when you pay off your karmic debt, then you will become one with the impersonal Brahman. That's Hindu belief. Look with me at Islam. Ask them and they will tell you, there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. Where does that put Jesus? Well, they acknowledge Jesus as a prophet, but he's even lower than Muhammad, not the Son of God. Muslims believe in two destinations, in the afterlife, in paradise and in hell, and your eternal destination is based on the amount of good and bad that you do in your life. Now look with me at the basics of Christian belief, that God is one who expresses himself in three personalities, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we believe that Jesus is the unique and sinless Son of God who offers us salvation for our sins through his sacrifice on the cross. Christians believe in two eternal destinations as well, heaven and hell. And where you end up is not based on your good works, but based on placing your faith in Jesus alone for salvation. If you look at those three religions, you may find a few similarities. Many religions teach, for example, that we should love one another. Jesus said, do to others as you would have them do to you. Buddha said, consider others as yourself. But after you move past these basic teachings and follow through on their beliefs, you arrive at the top and find that each religion takes you to an entirely different mountain. Not to the top of the same mountain, but an entirely different mountain. Don't all roads lead to God? If somebody says that, they probably have not looked too closely at what other religions teach. But if you do, you will see the dramatic and contradictory differences between the different religions. No, all roads do not lead to the same God. So when you actually study world religions, you'll see that it's not the case that all roads lead to God, because you cannot have a God saying he is one God, as Islam and Christianity would say, and have another religion that would say there's thousands of gods. Those can't lead you to the same place. You can't say that Jesus is the unique Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Savior of the world, as Christianity teaches, and then have Islam come along and say, well, he's only a prophet and he's lower than Muhammad. Those beliefs are absolutely contradictory. So which one is true? When it comes to the fundamental teachings of the various world religions, either they're all right or they're all wrong. They're either all wrong or there's only one that's right. They can't all be true. Which leads me to the third truth I'm going to ask you to embrace with me, that discovering and living truth matters more than anything else in life. Let me illustrate it a couple ways. For example, you're getting on an airplane, and you've got a pilot who's been trained by the best. He or she knows their stuff. They get in that cockpit. They look around at all the buttons, and they start thinking, you know, I have been instructed that this button does this and that lever does that, but I'm thinking today all the buttons are the same. And you tell me there's a difference, but in my mind they're all equal. And so I'm going to hit the buttons and pull the levers that I want. You tell me there's a difference, but I don't think so. And so they say there's a guy in the control tower who's going to tell me which direction to fly. He's going to tell me north. I know he is. And I'm feeling southeast today. And you're sitting on that plane, and it's going to go somewhere, directed by a person who does not believe in absolute truth, who will make up their own version and fly that plane wherever they want to go. Let's say you have a ruptured appendix and you are taken to the hospital. You're rushed to the hospital. The doctor diagnoses the ruptured appendix, which means you have to have surgery stat. But when the surgeon sees you, she says, you know, I've done 5 appendectomies this week. I'm kind of bored with that. I'm thinking spleen removal. And you're nervous. Why? Because all of a sudden, when you realize that this is life and death stuff, that you begin thinking that there must be some absolute truths that have to be followed or it could cost me my life. And that's what we're talking about here. This is about your eternal life. If there's anything to get right, it's this. Because someday you're going to die. Someday that's going to happen for every one of us unless Jesus comes back first. And if you just kind of think this or that is the right thing, if you're wrong about those beliefs, there's no do-over. And the harsh reality is for eternity. Can you think of anything that would be more important to know and decide in this life? That's why we as Christians know it was life-changing when we took a closer look at Jesus. And I want to lead us there today very quickly. Look at what Jesus taught. His teachings are radical. When you follow him, it's not all easy. He taught to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Total opposite of what most of the world would believe or teach. And he said, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. If someone demands your coat, offer them your shirt also. If you take a look at what he taught, you've got to admit that the world would be a better place if they followed the teachings of Jesus. Take a look at the miracles that Jesus performed. Mark 6:2 says, what's this wisdom that has been given him, even that he does miracles? And you can say, well, I don't believe in miracles. The Bible records Jesus opened blind eyes. He healed deaf ears. He caused mute people to speak. Scripture claims that he turned water into wine, that he multiplied loaves of bread and fish, that he healed the sick, and he raised the dead. Can anyone who is just a good person, can anyone who's a prophet lower than Muhammad, even his enemies, couldn't disprove the validity of his miracles? That's one of the reasons they put him on the cross, to get people to quit talking about the miracles he did. Take a closer look at Jesus and look at the resurrection. If you don't know that much about Christianity, this is a really big part for us. The Bible claims that Jesus was God in the flesh who became sin for us, shed his blood as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross, died and was buried. But the story doesn't stop there. The Bible says on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. It's one of the beliefs that sets Christianity apart from any other religion. So if you have to ask yourself, did that really happen? Peter said in Acts 3:15 that God raised Jesus from the dead and we are witnesses. In other words, we saw him alive after he died on the cross. Now there's arguments about the resurrection of Jesus. I think they're fair to walk through. Some people say that the Roman soldiers stole the body of Jesus and hid it away. But think about it. If they did, when the Christians were all saying, oh, he's back, he's alive, then the Roman soldiers would have said, gotcha, we got the body right here. That would have ended the argument. Some people say the disciples stole the body of Jesus and hid it away because they wanted to fool everybody into believing that Jesus was raised from the dead, that they overpowered the guards and they took that body and they hid it. And if that was true, then the disciples knew that Jesus had never risen from the dead. Why would they end up going through suffering and death for Jesus if it was a lie? Why wouldn't somebody admit when they were facing lions, when they were sentenced to be crucified upside down, one of them would have said, you know, guys, sorry, we lied. No, instead they died for what they knew was true. The truth is Jesus is alive. Take a closer look at Jesus and listen, look at what he claimed in John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Acts 4:12, it declares this about Jesus. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. You have to admit that is an exclusive claim from Jesus. Look at what he taught. Look at the miracles recorded in the Bible. Look at the resurrection. Look at what he claimed. And you're left with three options. Jesus is a liar. If you say that Jesus is a liar, then he was a really good one. And he fooled all the disciples into leaving their homes and their families to follow him. But if you say that, then you can't also say Jesus was a great moral teacher or Jesus was a prophet lower than Muhammad. Well, I don't believe he's actually God, but he was a pretty good teacher. No, you can't say that. Because if Jesus was a great moral teacher and he was lying about all the stuff that he presented as truth, he was not teaching great morals. If you're going to say that he's not God, then you're calling Jesus a liar because he declared himself to be God. Second option when you face the facts about Jesus would be to declare he's a lunatic. He's a crazy man. Crazy like Adolf Hitler or David Koresh or Jim Jones, who led lots of people to death. Jesus was just a guy with a God complex, and it got him and his followers killed. Was he crazy? And the third option is to recognize that Jesus is Lord. That he really is God. That the stories of our Bible are not made up fictional tales. But he really did come to this earth as God. He went to a cross and paid the penalty for our sins. And he stands today to offer us real life, eternal life in his name. Now you can do with that whatever you want. You could write him off as a bold-faced liar. You could spit at him and call him a crazy lunatic. Or you can bow at his feet and call him Lord. One time Jesus was with his disciples and they were arguing back and forth, and some said Jesus was a king, some said he was one of the prophets, some of the others said he was John the Baptist come back to life. And Jesus cut through all that, what they'd been hearing out in the culture, and he looked at his followers and he said, "Who do you say I am?" And it was Peter who spoke up. "You are the Christ," in other words, the one sent from God, the Son of the living God. And that's the question I'd like to ask you today. Who do you say that Jesus is? Would you bow your heads with me? In a moment like this and hearing a message like this, some of you are just able to rejoice and say, "I believe that, Pastor. That's why I'm here today. And I've received that forgiveness for my sins, and I'm following Jesus, and I intend to do that the rest of my life. Thank you for reminding me of these truths." If that's you today, it's time to just thank the Lord again. He saved you from your sins. He saved you from yourself. He saved you from destruction, and he's given you life and peace and joy and hope. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But for others here today, it may be a moment of a decision. You've heard some truth today that maybe you hadn't thought about for a while. And the truth confronts us. And I believe God sheds light on our path with truth. And it may be that you need to just admit, "I've been wrong. And God, I need you in my life. Forgive me for my unbelief. Forgive me for my sins that I've committed, the things I've done against you and against others. And come and live in me. I open the door of my life to you, Jesus. Come in." Thank you, Lord, for all you have done. And today as we celebrate, we pray that you would cause us to rejoice in this truth that we've had laid out in this message, but also the truth we're going to hear in the stories of the people who are baptized today. We want you to get all the praise and all the glory. It all belongs to you. It's only because of you that we're able to celebrate this today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say this. The whole reason we exist as a church is to help people get to heaven. We're all about loving Jesus and spreading hope. And if you have questions about the kinds of things that have been raised in my message today, I would be glad to talk to you. I've got a little booklet I could send home with you if you want to. Just see me out by the cupcakes after church, all right? Okay, meet me there. I'm going to invite the people who are ready to be baptized to come forward. These have gone through preparation and training, and we're going to invite them to come at this time. Let me say this to all of us. Baptism, we believe, is a sacrament. In the Church of the Nazarene, we recognize two sacraments, the Lord's Supper or communion, and the baptism of believers. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, chapter 6, he described the meaning of baptism like this. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If you have been united with him like this in his death, we will also certainly be united with him in his resurrection. And that is the symbolism of baptism by immersion, that we are going to be buried with Christ and then raised to new life with God. One of the earliest creeds of the Christian faith is the Apostles' Creed, and I'm going to invite you guys to stand. And I invite all of us to read aloud our declaration of faith today. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church of Jesus Christ, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And in many churches, maybe you said amen after you said that, right? And I ask you, as you prepare to be baptized, will you be baptized into this faith? If so, answer, I will. All right. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? If so, say, I do. Will you love God above all else and always try to keep everything out of your life that God would not want in it? If so, answer, I will with God's help. All right. How are we doing back there? Missing some. Okay. All right. Okay. You guys may be seated. And we're going to proceed with baptizing. And we're going to start with some kids. Uh-oh. What happened here? Hayden, can we do you first? All right, Hayden, Walton. We're going to gather family up here. Miss D, are you coming up? Great. You need this?
So this is Hayden, and it has been so amazing to watch him. I don't know him as well as I know the kids because he doesn't get to come as often, but it has been amazing to watch him grow. And when he mentioned that he wanted to be baptized, we sat down and talked, and he shared the story of how he realized that he needed God in his life. And I was so encouraged to hear him share that he came to that on his own conclusion. And so I've asked him to share his testimony. Are you going to read it? Do you have someone who wants to read it? I think they get a little nervous up here.
And speak. I'm kidding. So, I'm glad we're doing this today because Hayden's a really bad kid. I'm joking. Hayden is at a challenging age, you know, where he's in a struggle of becoming a pre-adult, and these are difficult times, I think, for all kids. School's getting harder, and there are some other issues, and Hayden's dealing with these things. And a long story short, Hayden came home one day and was really upset. And the details aren't important, but what's important is something hit him that wasn't right. And he just went to his room, and he just was in tears and just started praying. And that's something we've never seen before. And then I think The second biggest thing I think really sealed the deal with him was our Sunday night praise and worship night. Mm. And he's singing and praising God with his hands in the air. And that night, I watched this 11-year-old boy just in tears in prayer with God. So then with talking to him later in some more detail, I mean, it just makes sense that he's ready for this.
All right.
So Hayden, before you get in there, I have a few things for you. I'm going to give it to you now so they don't get wet later, okay? So this is your baptism certificate that you get to keep that shows that you have been baptized. This is just a little card I have for you. And then if you were here with the last baptism service, one thing I like to do is give the kids a white rose. The baptism symbols to everyone here that you have started a new life in Christ. This is something for you to take home to remember that you have a new life in Christ and that he has cleansed your heart and made it white. Okay? All right, and who's praying for you today?
Father God, we thank you for this young man, Lord, and we thank you that in all of life struggles that this young man chose to be with you, Lord. He chose to repent over getting upset about things that may have seemed minor at the time, Lord, but we just thank you that in all of that mess that he was able to open the windows and reach out to you, Lord, and build that relationship with you. We pray that he will continue to follow you and continue to read your word that is written in black and white, Lord, and we just pray as time continues and life does not get any easier, Lord, that he just continues to follow you and strive to build a relationship with you harder and harder as those challenges arise. Amen. Lord, it is in your son's name, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Are
you ready? All right.
All right, you might want to hand those off. Take your shoes off.
All right. Hayden Walton, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. Gunner, can you be next? Okay. Gunner?
Gunner Esri, you know, come on up, and then if his family could come join us, please.
Church shouting is in order, clapping, rejoicing, it's all in order.
Okay. So I got to share a little story about Gunner here. The last baptism service, he had mentioned that he wanted to get baptized, and so I had him and his mom come to the church, and we started talking about that, and so we started talking about baptism and what it means, and that in the Bible it says that you need to repent and be baptized. And so the baptism is the outward symbol, but the work in your heart has to be done first. And I asked him if he could share that story with me, and he went, uh-oh. And so we talked about that, and he had a love for God, and he wanted to serve God, but he hadn't quite made that final step yet. And his mom said, we can do that right now. And he said, yes, I want to. And so we just stopped right there and we prayed. He prayed, actually. And he made the decision on his own and he prayed and he asked God into his life and to forgive his sins. And it was a really special moment to be there and to see that. And I'm really excited to watch him grow in God and watch where God's going to take him. So your mom reading your story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gunner gets a little nervous in front of crowds. So Gunner wanted me to say that before he found Christ, he wasn't putting God first and he wasn't praying like he should. And so when he found Jesus as his Savior, he said he had known about Jesus since he was little, but had not asked him to forgive and to save him. Miss D and my mom helped me understand how to ask for salvation, and I prayed to God to forgive me and ask Jesus as my Savior.
All right, perfect. Okay, so I have some things here for you as well. I have your card, that's from me. And then your certificate right here. You can get it. And then, as you've heard with the others, the white rose to symbolize that God has given you a white heart and a new start. All right? So if you're ready, who's praying for you today? Hey, Nana. Who's Nana? Okay.
Well, Gunnar, this is the most important decision that you could ever make in your life. And just following what Jesus done by getting baptized. So I'm going to pray a scripture over him. And it is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that Gunnar decided to give his life to you, Father, that he turned his whole life unto you. And I thank you, Lord, that you have plans for us, plans and a future for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are you ready? Yeah. You can take your shoes off. You can wear your shoes. Okay.
All right. There you go. Gunnar Essery, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We probably need to work with Gracie next, so, okay? As long as everybody's up here.
The rest of her extended family has to come up.
Okay, you're probably wondering, why are all these teenagers coming up here? Because we are all family, okay? We hold tight to everybody. Gracie, I don't know much about Gracie because I leave the females to Kelly, Brooke, and Meredith because I just can't deal with the drama. The only thing I know about Gracie is she smiles all the time, which is great. Does she do that at home, too?
For the most part.
Okay, cool. All right. So Gracie has wrote out her testimony, and Brooke is going to read that for us. And then your grandpa? Or your Nana is going to pray for you. Okay.
Well, I know Gracie, and she's the sweetest pumpkin pie, I promise. So, okay, here's her testimony. I'm going to try not to cry with any of these teens, but it's going to be hard. So my life before I found Christ, I've always believed in God, but I was not living for him. God was never my first priority. I was always thinking, oh, I can just ask for forgiveness later. How and when I found Jesus as my Savior. I was in a bad place at school and just was not my best self at the end of the day. And then one day I was like, what am I doing? This is not who God wants me to be. So I started reading the Bible more and tried to live through God. What my life is like now. I am actually living through God now, and I'm trying to spread God's love and wisdom. We're really proud of you.
And again, Gracie, this is the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Ever make in your life. And getting baptized like Jesus did too. And I'm going to pray a different scripture over her. It's Isaiah 54:13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And I thank you, Father, for Gracie. I thank you, Lord God, that you have plans for her life, Lord. And we just thank you for all your goodness that you're going to show toward her and her life, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Gracie Essery, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Are we set?
Okay. I've got a couple kids to baptize. So, yeah, we switched a few things around. Okay. Teens, we'll welcome you back in a moment.
Hey,
all right. Who's going to go first?
Going to bring them both.
Dee Dee or Jeremiah?
Dee Dee.
Okay.
Dee Dee,
come on up.
Come on up.
Jeremiah, you can come up too and just stand with us.
So I got to tell you something. At church camp this year with Dee Dee, it was, I wish you guys could have been there. She, and she'll share in her testimony how she went up one night and prayed to God. And the rest of the week, you could just see, like every sermon, every worship service that we had, you could just see, I don't know, God healing her, if that makes sense. Just giving her strength and giving her courage, and you could just see this release to God, and it was just so amazing to watch. And I knew when we came back, I knew she would be a different person. And her mom has said many times that she's like day and night, and it was just so amazing as the days went on there at camp to watch that change happen in her. It was really, really cool. So she has a testimony that she is going to read for us. Do you want me to hold the microphone? A little shy.
She was all prepped for it. She practiced it in the mirror and everything. I found Jesus at church camp this year in chapel. When we were singing, you were making me cry.
She's gonna cry. You, have to
you could do it too. I depend on you. I felt like it changed me. Then after the pastor preached, he asked us if we would go up, if we wanted to go up and pray. I went up and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. After I prayed, I felt like I wasn't alone in my battles anymore. And now I feel like I can face my battles with God's help. I want to be baptized because in my heart, God told me I should.
Yeah. All right. They're tag teaming it.
Yeah, come on, Mom. All right. Dear Lord, thank you so much for Dee Dee and what a gift she is to our family. Thank you for her decision to follow you and commit her life to you. Please bless her as she continues to grow, and especially as she is getting closer to being a teen. Be with her today and every day.
I want to say thank you so much, Dee and Pastor Fred, for your devotion to the Lord and helping lead our children and our grandchildren. And Dee Dee, I want to say Jesus is the way maker. When things are dark, he shines the light. He helps us in our lives every day. And we're going to pray. Dear Jesus, I just thank you so much for the light you've shown in Dee Dee. God, just help her in her daily choices, in her walk through life. Be with her in the dark days and in the joyful days. Bless her and just pour out your blessings on her, God. We just thank you so much for the gift you've given us when you've given us Dee Dee. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, before you get in there, I have these for you as well. So here is your baptism certificate. Your card, you get a green card. And then here is the rose to remember new life in Christ. And when things get hard, you can remember you're not the person you used to be. You're a different person now, and God is with you. You ready? All right.
This is a great privilege. Dee Dee Cofer, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Woo! Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
Are you ready? This little guy here has so much love for Jesus that it shines in everything that he does. And when we sat down to talk about being baptized, you could see that he just, well, I just love Jesus. And he shared with me his story. And I think, Grandpa's going to help him with that. All right, are you ready?
This is Jeremiah's story. I learned about the ABCs of salvation at Bible school. One day I was really sad because I knew I sinned. I asked Jesus to forgive me and to come into my heart. I want to be baptized because I want to obey God. I have a clean heart.
Are you ready for the prayer?
Yeah. Dear God, we just thank you so much for this fun, amazing little boy that just keeps taking everything that's dished out to him. Just please bless him today as he commits himself to you, and bless him on the, as he grows to be with you always. Amen.
Jeremiah Kofor, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, wow.
Okay, we
got some teens to baptize here, so teens, come on up. Hayden?
Well, what to say about Hayden? Hayden started a youth group. He come to church because I knew his mother, and I just all the time, hey, Hayden, he's come to youth group. He's come to youth group. So he shows up one night, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. When he first started to come into youth group, he was a handful. I mean, a handful. We went to Max at MNU, and I had to take him out of the service once. He was just, and I'm saying all this for a reason, okay? Don't think I'm just bad talking him. One of the higher ups in our district even said, listen, that kid doesn't need to go to teen camp if he's going to act that way. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And so I just, Kelly and I just prayed the blood of Jesus over him. And Hayden started, he started coming back around and changing. And praise the Lord, he went to teen camp because that's where he gave his life to Christ.
Yeah.
But I told him after that, I said, you know, listen, we're going to have to talk about some stuff and get some stuff worked out. I said, you're going to be a tough nut to crack, but I am going to crack you. And I am not going to give up on you. And praise the Lord that I didn't. We try to get every teen to pray out loud in our youth group, which we got most of them will do it. At first, Hayden was just like, thank you, God, amen. But this brother can pray the paint off the walls now. I'm telling you what, he's got such a soft heart, and I'm just so grateful for him. So Riley's going to read his testimony and pray over him.
So before I found Christ, I was hanging around the wrong crowd and got in some trouble by the police. I've always done stupid things before when I didn't have Christ. How and when I found Jesus as my Savior. How I found Jesus was at Camp Table Rock. I felt Jesus touch my heart, and it felt like a change. I felt his spirit near me, and it changed me. What my life is like now. My life now is better with Jesus. There is still more room for improvement. I feel happy. I want to go do more stuff. I think Jesus makes me motivated. There is a verse I read every day to help me go, help me keep going. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for Hayden, and we thank you for his life and his decision to follow you. We just pray that he will always, you know, keep you in his heart and always do your will. And I know that, you know, I know that he will. And I'm just, you know, we're all praying for him, and we're also thankful for him and love him so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, Hayden. The power of God to change us is amazing. You're going to hear some more testimonies, too. All right? You ready? All right. Lost my page. Hayden Duran, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Landon?
So I'm going to let Brooke talk about Landon, but I've known Landon since he was probably that tall. And anyway, that's all I got to say. I'll let Brooke take over.
Okay, this one is really going to be hard for me not to cry. So I met Landon like a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, and he actually is my neighbor, and we didn't know. And I don't know, I have like such a soft spot for him, and me and Riley have really just tried pouring into him and hanging out with him, and they, you know, bond over basketball. And fast forward, he was going to go to teen camp, and I was like, Riley, this could be it. This could be, like, the change. And I really was, like, praying before, like, Lord, just change Landon's heart. And at teen camp, he ignored me all week. And I was so mad at him. I was like, me and the girls were like, he's not talking to me. He's ignoring all of us. And I was like, he is running from God, because I am diligently praying for this boy to just, you know, experience God. And we went down to the cross on the last night, and I was like, I want everyone to sit together, because I did not want him to be distracted. I wanted to sit by him and be like, shh, listen. But then the Lord was like, no, and he wasn't even near us. And I was like, great, he's not going to, you know. But then I look over, and he's not moving a muscle. He's, you know, and I just am already crying. And I was like, went over there, and I didn't even say anything. I just sat by him, and I just prayed in my head, like, you know, Lord, you know what you're doing in his life, and I'm just not going to say anything. I'm going to be quiet, because I talk a lot. And so then I, like, went back over, and I was sitting with Abby and Jenna, and I was just sobbing. Like, I just want him to love Jesus so bad. And then my mom went over there, and I was like, okay, I'm going back. So I went over there, and I sat by him, and he just cried in my arms. And he hates that part, but he did. And he was just, like, telling me, like, I don't have Jesus and I need him. And we prayed, and then me and the girls cried for like 6 hours after, because we just couldn't get over it. And then Hayden got saved, and we just like cried all night. But I just am so proud of him and all that he does. And I just pray that he always, you know, follows Jesus. And I didn't cry that much. He didn't make me cry. So, okay, I'll pray for him now. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for Landon, Lord, and what he means to me and Riley and just to the youth group. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just protect him, that you would follow him all the days of his life. And Lord, that he would just seek you first. And Lord, that he would just miss out on all the junk the world has to offer, Lord, and that he would just want to follow you and put you first in his life, Lord. And I just pray that you bless him in that. And I pray that he just always just seeks what you have for him in sports and in school and in his life, Lord. And I just pray that he grows up into a good, godly man like I know he will. And I just thank you so much for him and his life. And I just pray that you just be with him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Landon Herring, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, Blake.
One thing I want to say about all these teens is they're not perfect by any means. None of us is. And teenage boys are stupid, I'll tell you that right now. But following their leader.
I have no comment. I was thinking I was a teenage boy too.
But no, it's a daily work. So next we got Blake Campy. And Blake came to youth group because Meredith invited him. And Blake, he used to be my dealer. He used to bring me cherry Jolly Ranchers all the time, and for some reason you've stopped that. What's wrong? What's going on with that? No, but but anyway, Meredith's going to read his testimony and pray over him, and there you go.
Okay, so How and when I found Jesus as my Savior. I found Jesus as my Savior when Mayor told me about the church and told me to come to see if I liked it. And now I am more happy and not avoiding Jesus. But Blake and me met one time because the cops were looking for somebody and pulled two white trucks over at the same time, and that's how I met him. And he added me on Snap, and I just begged him to come to church and just kept begging him and begging him and begging him. He was like, no, no, no. And then one night I saw his truck pull in, and he came in. And ever since then, Blake has came to church and finally gave his life to Jesus and has been living for him and is so happy now and just so sweet. So I'm going to pray for you. Dear Jesus, I just pray for Blake and that you would just continue to be a light in his life and that you would just shine so bright in him that he would have others wanting what he has and that you would just stay with him always. In your name we pray. Amen.
Blake Campy, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow. Praise God. Thank you, teen family. June? All right. In case you don't know, June Mathis is James Greer's mom. And so this is an exciting day, family-wise, to be able to join together and celebrate with you. All right. Randall's going to read this story.
I'm going to read this since June's a little... She's a little embarrassed to do it, but family helped me out. Yeah. Is this woman embarrassed or soft-spoken about anything? No. No. But in front of a crowd, she is, even though she has got a look that, as we most of you know, can make all the hair on your body stand up. This woman can make yours stand up and catch fire. But anyway, before she wants me to read her testimony, she wanted me to acknowledge some members of her family that has greatly put not only her soul in God's hands, but also mine. And would James and Bridget please raise your hands? Please. I know everybody knows you. Dixie Gail Mathis, use your hand. Thanks to these people here is why we are here today, okay? So, thank you. All right. I have always believed in Jesus. I grew up believing, but there was a period of time when I was selfish and did what I wanted, not what God wanted. So, I wanted to be able to hear God speak to me and felt he didn't. Lately, I hear him softly, sometimes loudly. This is what I want you to do, God says. Go to church. Feel me. Be a better person. I am more in tune with my feelings now. Wrong is much more wrong than it used to be. Thanks once again to James, Bridget, and Dixie, for I believe you have guided me back to the Lord. I need him in my life now more than ever. James is going to say a prayer.
Lord, I just thank you so much for my mom. We've been through a lot together. And I know you were always there. And And I just pray that you would just touch her heart, Lord, and that you would just keep her near to you, that she would continue to hear you speak into her life. We love you and thank you so much for my mom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
June Mathis, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, praise God. Melanie. This is Melanie Tharp. All right. You ready to share your story?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do it. Okay.
I was baptized as an infant in the Catholic Church and was raised in a loving home with two parents who I believe were very close to God. We went to church every Sunday, youth group on Wednesdays. I went through First Communion, a confirmation like every good Catholic girl. During this time, I also attended church camps, and I remember feeling extremely close to God and talking to him every single day. Then in high school, I got lost. There is a lengthy story, but for time's sake, I'll move on. Little by little, the enemy took over, and I fell to anger, anxiety, resentment, and eventually addiction, a marriage that lacked the foundation of God, and so much more. I was in a very dark place for a very, very long time. I started fighting some of these battles on my own. I left my husband, and I still fought addiction for many years. By the grace of God, I was able to win the battle against addiction before I had my daughter. However, at that time, I was completely unaware that I would have a child or even be able to. I certainly wasn't giving God any credit for helping me, but I know he did. He was there all along, and he knew his plan for me. I just wasn't ready to fully listen or acknowledge his part in it. Within a year, maybe less, of becoming clean, I found out I was pregnant. I was under the impression I couldn't get pregnant. I was told I couldn't get pregnant by my doctor, but God had other plans. Fast forward a couple years to after I had Sybil, and I was doing everything I could to fight the many battles that came along with being a single mom. For the most part alone, I had alienated most of my friends during those dark days, and my mom was fighting with Alzheimer's. My family needed to be there for her dad. The last thing I wanted to do was further burden them. I was slowly building my life back up because I had to for my little miracle that I had now. I honestly don't remember why or how, but somehow I reunited with an old friend, this girl, who asked me to come to church with her. All I remember is crying uncontrollably during worship and God clearly telling me that I was finally where I needed to be again. She doesn't go to this church. She goes to Springfield, but that's not the point. Not that church specifically, but back in his arms. That was the beginning of my faith journey that led me here today. I was broken, carrying wounds that seemed impossible to heal. But when I turned to God through Jesus, his love embraced me, bringing healing to my heart and body. Today, I stand restored, a testament to his faithfulness.
Yes, yes. Praise God.
And I won't put my friend on the spot because this was kind of last minute for her. So Sean's going to pray for me.
And Melanie, we wanted you to know, our home group's up here, and we want you to know that your church family's behind you, and we're getting to know you, and we can see the joy of Christ in you, and look forward to growing with you more. So, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to witness these testimonies. We're so grateful that you have brought Melanie out of darkness into your light, Lord. She can walk in the light. She can walk in truth. And Lord, bless her. Days are hard, I know, for her as a single mom, and she struggles. But encourage her daily. Provide her with what she needs. Help keep her in your words when she doesn't have the minute to be in your word, Lord. I pray that you would provide that time for her, and that throughout her whole life, she would continue to grow in faith, that she would continue to be a wonderful example of God for her daughter, and that you would help her testimony to just grow throughout the years. We love you, and thank you for this day of baptism. In Jesus' name, amen.
Melanie Tharp, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Well, if you're here and you're saying, I need to be baptized, we will do it again for you, all right? So if that's you, you just need to come and talk to us. Talk to Miss D if you're in the kids ministry. Talk to Rob if you're in the youth ministry. And we would love to do this again. It's one of the greatest celebrations we can have. And that's why there's cupcakes, too. Oh, I kind of overdo that part. Sorry. But it's just me. And so when you leave today, if you go out these doors, there will be tables of cupcakes out there. And we would really enjoy the privilege of just to be able to say hi. Some of you have come in as family members and supportive friends. And we'd love to just say hi to you. And we're glad that you're here. If you don't have a regular church you attend on a Sunday, this is a good one. And I'd highly recommend it. All right? Would you stand with me? And I want to close this in prayer. Jesus, we celebrate your power to change our lives. Every one of us has a story. And for those who have chosen to follow you, that story has a turning point away from our way of living, away from a life of sinful destruction, and turning to God and finding real life and freedom. Joy, peace, and hope. So, Lord, today we've celebrated and we rejoice together with each of these, with their families, and we thank you for your grace. Now, would you help us as we leave here to just continue following Jesus and spreading hope, I pray, in your mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's go serve him.
Kids, if you guys took a clipboard and was able to do one of those worksheets, I have the prize up here if you want to bring it up.